It was good to get our squad back yesterday together and get the Auburn game behind us and start concentrating on the Mississippi State game. That's going to be a really tough battle for us. We know we've got to go down to a tough place to play, and got a team that I think has, you know, played a tough schedule, and right now they're ready to go, had a week off. So it's going to be a tough game for us. We're going to have to work hard to get ready, and but I think our guys are ready to do that, and I like their attitude, and they seem to be handling everything the right way.
Coach, it looked like the offense kind of picked up Saturday night when McKenzie came in. Was it as simple as that, or?
It's never that simple. You know, it's just a matter of what we were trying to do, trying to change at halftime. We thought we had to throw the ball more and do it effectively, and you know, we found out we had started having some success in doing that. So I think that helped us offensively, and McKenzie did a good job. Still missed a few, but he was, you know, he made some huge plays for us, and you know, I think if Chris is healthy, he can do the same thing. And, you know, we just got two good quarterbacks, I think.
What's Chris's status, buddy?
Right now, we're hoping he'll be able to play. It's just a matter of watching him in practice and see how he responds. And, of course, we'll get every kind of test we can do on it and let doctors look at him. And but Chris is, you know, he's a tough guy. He wants to play, and just sort of assumes that he can get back in there, you know, when everything calms down. But we'll just have to see how his throwing motion is affected by this injury, and see how tender it is. You know, he actually got hurt on a run, you know, so, you know, that could happen at any time. We have to see how tender it is, and you know, if he would be able to withstand the hit on that shoulder.
Who's behind McKenzie now?
Well, we just keep getting reps with Jared Funk and Larry Smith, and both of them are doing fine. You know, we really think Larry's got a huge amount of potential, and, you know, he's the younger of the two, of course. It would be a eye-opening experience for either one of them, to tell you the truth. So, you know, we'll probably get them a few more reps just to see how they're doing and see how they progress at looking at the things that the game plan demands and see how they react this week.
Coach, if Chris is healthy, does he go back to that number one spot?
Well, we'll figure that out when we find out if he's healthy.
What did McKenzie do with Chris, you know, a lot of the season, saw a lot of action on Saturday. What impressed you most, and what was his biggest improvement from last year when he saw him last year?
Well, what impressed me is he went directly in the game and performed well. I mean, he was ready, and, you know, he's always anticipating it, and he practices hard and gets the game plan down, and, you know, there was no hesitation at all, and our staff, I think, had a lot of confidence in him and allowed him to do the things we had to do to get back into the game, and he executed a great throw to Justin Wheeler to get us in the end zone right before the half, and I think that was a huge step for. So, you know, I don't know if you could pick out one or two things where he's better than last year. I just think he's older, smarter, seen it, done it, and he's ready. You know, he's, you know, likes to do it. So he's ready to get in there.
I'm sure you've heard the phrase for years, you have two quarterbacks and no quarterbacks, but for you to have two guys that you know you can trust as far as the depth being built and that sort of thing, is that a luxury that sort of signifies with the program?
It is, because we, you know, right or wrong or good or bad, you know, we run the quarterback, you know, and that quarterback is, you know, going to have a chance to be hit. And, you know, you got to have guys who are ready to play, and, you know, we feel like we got two who have played and have played effectively, and we've got two others that, you know, we got a lot of confidence in if we ever had to go to them. So I think it's, you know, if you only got one quarterback, you're you know, dancing in the wrong area. I mean, you're dancing with the devil, because this is going to bite you.
Coach, pitchers that have been while getting the player of the week the second time this year. He's not the biggest or the fastest guy out there. What would you say his best quality is?
Patrick is really a student of the game when it comes to learning exactly what to do, where he's going to be. And, you know, I think that goes a lot with a lot of our guys on defense. I don't know if we've got any of the huge stars. Of course, DJ gets a lot of press because he's made so many big plays. But, you know, Stephen Stone and Broderick Stewart, Patrick Benoit, Ryan Hamilton, just guys knowing what to do, being in the right spot, and then executing the defense gives us a chance for a lot of guys to make big plays. And on our defense, a lot of guys have made big plays. I think we had 8 different guys have sacks, and different guys have interceptions and tackles for loss. So, just the model we want. Learn how to do it, and then try your very best to do it. And he does a really good job. Huge play. It was 3rd down, first series of the second half. He's got his right hand over there. He goes to try to knock down a pass. He sticks his good hand over there and sort of waves in front of the guy's face, and he drops it, and they have to punt. And, you know, it's a good way to start the second half. But he's that kind of heady player. He's just really smart.
Coach, you had George Smith for the first time on Saturday. Talk about what addition he is, not only on the field but also wrestling on the sidelines.
Well, you know, George is older than dirt. He's been here almost as long as I have, you know. Totems are like sort of like the White House. They make you leave after 8 years. And but, you know, George is just that. I mean, he's a great teammate, a great leader, he's a great captain, and he's great to have around. And George is a good player. You know, it's just hard to not have played all year and then expect to jump in the game against a very fine Auburn defense and expect to be at the top of his game. And he wasn't, but he made a really good catch on the slant down near the goal line and got it down to about 1-yard line, and we were able to score and go in. So it's great to have him back and hopefully getting better and better as we go along.
Bobby, Mississippi State and Auburn played a spectacular 3-2 game. How similar is Mississippi State and Auburn defensively, both personnel and scheme-wise?
Personnel, you know, they're very much alike. You know, I think Mississippi State got a lot of confidence from last year's team, you know, doing well, going to a bowl, winning a bowl game. You know, so they play with a lot of confidence on defense, and they've got some playmakers like Pegues, and, you know, he's just, you know, he does it on defense. He does it on special teams. Ditsu, he seems like he's been there forever. So, you know, they've got some playmakers, but they've got real just steady, hard-nosed players. And it's just hard to complete drives and keep drives going because they've got such a solid defense. And scheme-wise, you know, a lot of people are doing, you know, similar things against spread out offenses, and everybody has their own identity, so it'd be hard to pinpoint exactly. You know, I don't think they're exactly the same, but, you know, they're not afraid to play man. They'll challenge you. They'll put pressure on you, you know, just like Auburn.
What you talked about being George Smith, that he snuck out to Washington out there. Just talk about
well, you know, surgery from the ACL is, you know, pretty hard to overcome in the amount of time he's had to get ready, and we just wanted to, you know, we just sort of planned on just letting him go to pregame warm up and run around and catch some balls before the game and, you know, be on the sideline. Next thing you know, somebody's, you know, get in there, you know, so he gets in there and but he's cleared to go. But I want to tell you, that's a huge step to make, coming off of ACL surgery, playing that first game when you got to get in there and maybe have some contact. That's you know, something you got to build up a little bit, your confidence in your knee, and can it take a hit? And, you know, we're just trying to work that in as gradually as we can.
Do you have any idea how many snaps you got?
Not many. I don't know exactly, but not many.
But you guys have kind of talking about Saturday's game when we can have missed the state. I think for a lot of people, it's going to be harder to forget what long-term effects, once you're in the bubble, what long-term effects in terms of recruiting or fan base do you see from Saturday victory?
Well, we'll find out. You know, hopefully we think it's going to be a big boost and, you know, a bounce, to speak politically, in this political atmosphere we have in Nashville. And, you know, hopefully we can take advantage of it. You know, recruiting has been going well anyway, you know, but, you know, you can always welcome a boost and, you know, we certainly will. I think the atmosphere at the stadium was fantastic. I hope our fans will continue to come out and act like they did. It was great. They stayed after the game. You know, our students were there early. You know, the game day deal over there at the Commons, you know, was, according to ESPN, what they tell us was one of the best atmospheres they've ever had. So they were impressed. So, you know, if we can keep that going, that's just as important as recruiting and, you know, donors. You know, it helps in every aspect.
Building off that, and you felt the energy through the city about the program, does that trickle down to the locker room and the players?
Yeah, it does. You know, we're sort of in a, you know, just a isolated environment over here because you come in early and then you go home late and players go to class and they come over here to practice. So we don't really get out a lot.
Coach, I believe you have your defense and special teams have not given up a point in the last three straight games, including two SEC games. Can you talk about the work that
in the second half?
Can you talk about what they're doing down the stretch of these games?
Well, yeah, I think the best thing we do is we figure out what's not working real well in the first half, and we eliminate it, and that gives our guys a chance to go out and with the calls we are going to make and be confident with them, play hard, play fast, and know what they're executing, and that gives you a chance to be more successful than, you know, if you're just grab bagging and you don't have a plan. You know, when you make a game plan out the week before, you're guessing, you know, what the other team's going to do and how they're going to do it and if they're going to change and do something totally different. You know, we had not seen Auburn under center very much, and they came out and two tights, two flankers under center and just rolled over us there for a while. So, you know, you got to make some adjustments, and most of the time that means eliminate some of the stuff that you thought you were going to use, and you don't have to, or you tried in the first half, it's not very effective, and then get down to the, you know, the stuff that you really need to work on in the second half.
Coach, in addition to the schemes and the adjustments that you're making at halftime, I went back and looked at it yesterday, and it looks like you're just playing with more intensity in the second half. Is that something you see?
Well, I don't know. I hope we're playing with some intensity in the first half. I think, you know, there's always a, I don't know if you call it a adjustment period or a feeling out period of the other team. And, you know, people seem to do different things against us than they've done previous weeks. So I guess, you know, we just have to figure out what they're doing and see if we can do a little bit better.
Bobby,
not that we were terrible, you know, in the first half. I think after the first quarter we settled down a little bit and started playing the run better. In fact, their second touchdown was, you know, a long pass or 25, 30-yard pass after we had shut down the run a little bit better. So I thought we played better actually in the second quarter than we did in the first quarter, not only the second half. Yes,
Teresa. Bobby, you mentioned the isolated atmosphere that you kind of work in. Does that help now that you guys are trying to keep this going into this week to keep them focused on just the fact of having the game on Saturday?
Well, for the coaches, we don't have any choice. I mean, they're just limited number of hours per week that you got, and you have to get in here and make the most of them. And then the players are kind of the same way. You know, they're going to be interacting with other students and things like that, but you know, they go to class and then they come and they lift weights 2 days a week, and then we have practice in the afternoon. And believe me, you know, last week in practice, nobody was talking about game day at practice, and nobody was talking about the game being on ESPN in practice, or what Lee Corso is going to do, or anything. You know, that's not discussed at practice, and nobody's talking about it. They concentrate very well, and you know, our coaches demanded of them, and so far they've responded. I hope they'll do it this week.
Is there something in the water here in Nashville? You all are off to a good start. Titans, TSU, even. Just maybe things coming together for each team at the right time?
Well, I hope everything keeps going. I'd like to see all three teams keep it moving. That would be fantastic for the city. And you know, but I don't think there's anything in the water. There are probably some things in the water, but I don't think it's affecting football.
Probably
Kool-Aid.
A couple of polls have you one spot behind Ohio State. Any message there for Chancellor Gee?
Chancellor Gee actually, you know, as we've communicated, he's pulling as hard as he can for the Commodores.
And at the same time, you guys are higher in the AP poll than you guys are on the News and World Report, too. So just kind of put it in what's currently doing.
I don't know which one of those polls, who does either.
Yeah, well, Anthony 18 from the university.
I don't know anything about them.
So, what do you see in the two field goals on Saturday night?
I think, you know, Bryant just over-rotated a little bit on the first one, and he kicked it very well. And I think he was just trying to kick the other one a little bit too hard, and it got too low, and, you know, it looked like that Olympic volleyball thing I was watching, and boom, it came right back.
You guys have gotten to this 5-win mark. Obviously, your goals have gotten to the point where they progress higher than just getting to the bowl eligibility part. But you got to this part last year, weren't able to get to that 6-win. You said before that your players are smart and they're smart guys. You know, they know they're 1-win away from that kind of that magic mark where it hasn't been. You know, how do you get them maybe not to focus on that? In the back of their mind, they know that's the mark.
Well, you can't ignore it. I mean, you know, they are smart, and they know that it's there, and, you know, you can't fool them. So I told them yesterday, we're not worried about, you know, getting 6 wins. We're worried about playing the 6th game, and that's all we're worried about. And, you know, if that gives us an opportunity, you know, fine, but it's the 6th game we're worried about, not 6 wins.
Coach, can you get a little more specific with what Chris Nixon is dealing with the shoulder? Is it a bruise? Is it a structural thing that affects
his
throwing? Does it get worse as he throws more?
Well, I'm not a doctor. And to tell you the truth, you know, I think it's muscular, but you know, there may be more to it than what I know. But I don't think it's anything that will keep him out for a long period of time. And, you know, Chris, you know, wants to throw right now. But, you know, we're just trying to make sure we don't re-injure it. And I think that's, you know, I don't want to get in the situation we had last year where we, you know, don't let him get any contact in practice, and then he feels great, and then he goes in the game, and then he gets it hit, and then we come out, and you just got that unknown quality about the whole thing. And, you know, we're just going to, you know, trust our doctors and our trainers and go from there.
Is it the same thing as he had last year?
Exactly the same thing? I don't know. You know, it could be.
One of the big differences in Saturday night, especially the second half, was penalties. Auburn was kind of shooting themselves in the foot there. We've seen him play pretty much mistake free. I'm wondering, where does this team stack as far as discipline with the other teams in the country?
Well, I think we've led the team in the fewest, I mean, led the league in the fewest penalties every year except one. And, you know, so we haven't had a lot of problems with guys, you know, going off and doing the wrong things. You know, one of our penalties was just an unfortunate face mask penalty the other day. I was upset with a couple blocks in the back and a holding call. And usually, you know, a holding call is as a result of some desperation. You know, you missed a block, and you're trying to make up for it. So, As far as discipline, you know, hitting guys out of bounds and doing crazy things, you know, we've never had that much of a problem.
Coach, can you talk about Brett Upson's play this year?
Yeah, loved it. You know, he's done a fantastic job of helping us maintain or regain field position, status. And he's worked extremely hard on directional kicking and our rugby kicking and our pooch kicking, and they've all paid off for us this year. The pooch kicking last Saturday. We directional kicked on the last one. You know, we kicked away from them, and it was also a wonderful punt. And then the two of the rugbies, last year he wasn't as comfortable with rugby kicking as he is now, and he's worked extremely hard and got it rolling and just what we wanted out of it. You get a lot of net with a little bit of a chance of a return. Auburn, I think, they were averaging 15 or 16 yards per return last year, up until last game. It might have been 20.
They had two returns. Two or three punts
return at all. Right.
Along those same lines, can you also talk about just some of the guys in your punt coverage unit and what some of them have done, like Casey Hayward and Alan Strong?
Well, we re-examined everything we were doing on special teams, and you know, we felt like we liked our scheme. We just had to get more effective players in there doing it. And so, you know, Alan Strong's a really fast guy. Casey Hayward is a freshman, but you know, he plays fast, and you know, we've just been more effective and doing a better job on the coverage. And, you know, those two have a lot to do with it, but some of those inside guys too.
Coach, you suddenly eliminated a 5 or 15 on the placement aspect. Are you seeing anything different in terms of, you know, if the guy gets his hand in, he might as well use it? Looked like Jamie about got his head pulled.
I think that was an accident. He was running by, and we were blocking him in the back as he was going by. So, he was just trying to make a tackle. That would be a pretty, devious guy to be all of a sudden trying to get off the block and, well, I'm going to grab a face mask and get me a good 15-yarder. You know, I don't think players think that way.
Well, a couple of SEC coaches have said that your talent level is a lot better than is perceived out in the general public.
My talent level?
Yeah, you specific.
Oh, okay.
And talk about where it is as to where it was, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, I've had, you know, my theory on when you come into a program, you know, is, you know, I think if you look at a lot of programs, you know, that's what I've tried to do. When you come in here, we actually inherited some pretty good players, Dan Stricker and Chuck Losey. We had some, you know, Russian Jones. When programs start to wane a little bit, you know, I think recruiting drops off. So we were getting good seniors when we got here, but the recruiting had dropped off, and the sophomores and the freshmen, you know, is where it really dropped off that we inherited. So we were having to replace not only the seniors, but we were having to try to get better players than those sophomores and juniors. So it takes time, and you just gotta, you know, believe that if you have some consistent recruiting, that you just try to keep banging away at it and you get better players in here. But to get down to your final answer, yes, it is. Our level is better. Our talent level is better. We're faster. I don't know if we're that much bigger, but we're faster and more athletic, and that gives you a chance to compete and not just get run out of the stadium when you go against some of these great teams.
Bobby, the stats in a lot of areas aren't really good. Besides wins and losses, what are the important stats?
I think scoring defense is a huge stat, and scoring offense, and yeah, I think we're 26 point something scoring offense and 16. you know, when you compare it to SEC stats, you know, especially scoring defense, I mean, there's some fantastic defenses in the SEC. And everybody wanted to make a big point of we were last in this, last in that, and, you know, it's like you're comparing it against some high standards. So we don't worry about those stats. You know, we worry about wins and losses and things like net punting, you know, things that have a direct effect on the game. Turnover margin, red zone scoring, you know, those things are important. And you just don't compare yourself to other schools. You see how you're doing for yourself.
One more question. Average field position start, average starting field position. What do you guys
do that? Well, you know, I think that's a factor of turnovers and kicking game and things like that. But, you know, we do know it's easier to score if you're closer to the goal line.
Thank you very much, Coach.
All right. Thank you.